Welcome to the Hairdryer Treatment Podcast, powered by Kevin Grogan Soccer, Soccer Coffee, and much more. Delighted once again to have Joe Bean back in the studio today. Joe's obviously a Irish-American Soccer Hall of Fame inductee. Joe, a lot has happened over the last couple of weeks in the Irish international scene, with Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane stepping down from their positions or being asked to step down. We can discuss that. And obviously Mick McCarthy coming in for 2 years to try and get us into the European Championship. Stephen Kenny, who's done a fantastic job at Dundalk, going in as under 21 manager and also to oversee all the underages, U15 and up. And he will get the job in 2 years' time after Mick McCarthy. Thoughts?
I was surprised to hear the news that Martin O'Neill was finished at Ireland. A mutual consent is what they're saying as well about him leaving. But I was surprised. I have to admit that I wasn't totally on top of all of their games, but I was aware that they were under pressure from the media. And then obviously the supporters were giving them a hard time. It starts off with the players, doesn't it? Then it moves on to O'Neill. And I think Delaney, the FAI, I think Delaney was beginning to feel that pressure. And I think he jumped in and took the easy option of letting Martin O'Neill go.
I think with Delaney, he was under pressure. Fans were dwindling a bit. Although to the naked eye, it didn't really seem like that. But they were giving away a lot of free tickets to the last few games to bulk up the attendances, but obviously they're not paying customers. He was also under a lot of scrutiny over the lack of input the FAI have had with the FAI, which became an issue. In terms of the who let who go, were they sacked or did they leave? I think what usually happens in them circumstances is they meet, they have a discussion, the association or the club, if it's a club-based situation, will insinuate that they want to move in a different direction. They obviously then, if they sack them, they have to pay them up their full wage, but they come to an agreement where they kind of say it's by mutual consent. They negotiate a figure, a percentage of what they are owed, whether that might be 50%, 75%, 100%, or whatever it might be, and then they shake hands and they leave in a way that it's amicable and by mutual consent. And I think that would save then the organisation of not paying them up 100%. I believe that's what happens in them circumstances. It's a massive payoff, though, to get rid of Roy Keane and Martin O'Neill. And obviously the scrutiny is that not enough money is getting pumped into our underage setups and our development models. Where do you stand on them getting rid of O'Neill and Keane and having to paying them off?
Well. I can assume then that it was Delaney's decision to let Martin O'Neill go. Can we clarify?
Well that's the other thing. I mean, people are asking, was it solely John Delaney's decision, the chief executive of the FAI, or does he go in and have a discussion with a board and do they vote on it? It seems like he has a massive amount of power in the FAI, and ultimately it would be his decision. Probably more importantly is discuss how we feel O'Neill and Keane did. I mean, I think they're getting a very bad rap at the moment. They did have a tough 12 months and they didn't play particularly well, but there wasn't really any what you call proper competitive matches in terms of qualification for European Championships or World Cup. They did breed a lot of new players, but the overall style wasn't great. But you could argue they were building for the future. But I think what we need to judge them on is what they did over the full reign, which I believe was 5 years. They got us to the European Championships. We had some big performances, particularly against Italy when we won the Robbie Brady goal. I believe Wes Houlihan whipped it in, a great cross for him. And we were one game away from the World Cup qualification. Although it was a bad day at the office, very much so, things did seem to deteriorate then. And I do think it's time for a change. But I think we have to acknowledge they did a very good job overall, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. Over the 5 years that they were there, the Euros was an incredible journey. The qualifications to get into the Euros was great as well. The German result, the win over Germany was fantastic. They definitely had a good tournament where they got into the last 16. Interestingly enough, the side that he put out against Italy, they used a few reserves. Kyo started getting into the team, and it was impressive watching how much desire they had all the way through the squad, and they were flying at that time. Ireland, where they were running people into the ground, and their tackles were ferocious, and they certainly played with an incredible desire over 90 minutes. Style of play, and when they did get it down a few times and play a bit of ball, especially when Houlihan was out there, and when we had our wing backs, if you like, playing in the games, Brady was doing very well, and we were able to play a bit of ball, and we could see that was growing a little bit. But style wise, we still weren't like a team that played possession, that could dominate the ball, dominate the...
Would you say that's like, people argue that we don't have the talent in the team, or do you think we do have the talent and, you know, the managers didn't want to play that style? It's a big question.
I do think that that particular side had enough players in the side to play a possession-oriented game.
I mean, Wesley Houlihan, arguably one of the most talented players Ireland maybe has ever had in terms of getting on the ball and expressing themselves. A true street soccer player. Obviously had the privilege of playing with him growing up for Belvedere.
Yeah.
Like, you can't say that he's not a footballer.
A lovely footballer. Brady, good player. Two good fullbacks that could play a little bit, get up and down. Might have been lacking a little bit up top.
Goal scorer. They didn't, and when you talk about, they didn't replace Robbie Keane, it's the wrong wording, because you can't just go out and sign someone when you lose a striker. You could argue we didn't have another Robbie Keane. We haven't had another Robbie Keane. Very hard to replace. Not the manager's fault.
There's many ways to skin a cat, and there's many ways to score goals. You do need a couple of players who can slot balls in within play itself, within the game. I still think that the decision was to go out there and give it every single thing that you've got over the 90 minutes. We all knew that. Everybody knew that watching that team play. Could Martin O'Neill have arranged this team to play a possession-oriented game, to get the ball on the ground, play out the back, through the middle, back out? Yeah, I think he could have done it. I liked the midfielders actually in that team. They didn't choose to go that way. It's a result-oriented business, as you well know. And they went for results, and they went for that passion, and for that running game. And when they were charging people down, it was incredible watching them. I had a great time writing about the qualifications and the tournament. I think I wrote about every game, actually. Style of play was all about, had to be all about organisation, putting pressure on teams and being able to fall back in a good shape and go from there. They were working on that. They got that right in 2016 and leading up to 2016, the qualifications. They definitely got it right. I just want to go back to what we've established already here is that the FAI let Martin O'Neill go. That's what seems to be what we've established in our earlier conversation here. And to me, I think, all right, in the last 10 games, they haven't won. They've won one game out of the last 10 or 11 games. There's no style at the moment. There's been a lot of stuff going on off the field. We all know what Keane was like. The Dark Lord, as they call him in Ipswich. We all know what he's like. There's a lot of stuff going on online. After the Denmark game, things just went pear-shaped. Things just went wrong for Martin O'Neill.
Yeah, I think at this stage, they're so desperate to qualify for the next European Championship because it's going to be hosted. Some of the games are going to be hosted in Dublin, which would be massive for Ireland, for sport, for tourism, and all of that. And probably the FAI and Delaney, not only because he's under pressure with tickets and the fans and the media outlets, I think he probably wanted to freshen things up and put someone in there that maybe would give him more confidence that we could qualify for that.
Yeah, there was definitely that pressure, you know, of, you know, of having games in Aviva and being at home and doing well. But let's ask ourselves this question: if they said to Martin O'Neill, "Look, okay, we've renewed your contract. We just renewed your contract, right? But you know what? We're going to measure you on this Nations League that you're going to go into. We're going to take a look at that, see how you guys do in that, see how the, you know, transition goes with all the new players, and let's make sure that we give it our all here in this part of the program, in this part of our experience." No one said that to him. I think he slipped. I think they dropped the ball a little bit. But that also begs the question. I want to try and stay with O'Neill here as far as, okay, what kind of sessions are they running? And do they have enough time to build these styles of play?
Well, that was a big argument. And players coming out and talking out of school really annoys me. You know, what happens in the dressing room should stay there. It's an old cliche, but players coming out now and criticising what they did or didn't do. But by all accounts, Martin O'Neill wasn't really a session coach on the field, nor was Roy Keane. And the way the modern game has gone now, you know, there's more and more coaching happening. It's becoming more of a head coach industry than a manager, where the old school manager is signing the players, is man managing, is deciding on formations, is getting the best out of players in terms of motivation. But the modern day coach, your Klopps, your Guardiolas, Mourinho's, they're actually on the field putting on the sessions now, which wouldn't have been the case with, for example, Sir Alex Ferguson never put the sessions on. He was there and he appreciated and understood the power of observation. So the game has clearly changed and evolved. And maybe was it a case that, you know, Martin hadn't evolved with the game, and players couldn't respond to him because of that?
Well, then we're saying that that was the case with Martin O'Neill and Ireland, that he wasn't necessarily putting on these sessions. Even if they played this direct style, that they weren't doing sessions to enhance their direct style. Martin O'Neill would say that it's up to the player. The player's got to prove himself. They've got to impress me. They've got to look the part. They've got to do the business. And then I take them on. So that does kind of lend to that he was old school managing the team. But do they have enough time to train the teams? Are the players together enough? We have to look at the other teams that they're playing. We have to look at the differences between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland in the game they just played. Northern Ireland were creating chances.
But that's the argument, because they say Northern Ireland don't necessarily have more talented players than us, but they looked like they were playing a better brand of football, and so on, you know.
That's a great point. So you would think then that if you're a top-class manager, that you would weigh things up and say, we definitely have to put sessions on. Because you know what, I don't have the player where I can say, okay, go out there and impress me. I'm making a change. You're going in up top. I'm making two changes. You're going in. What do you want me to do? Well, you should know at this stage. Get out there and do your stuff. So, and they couldn't do it, and they haven't been doing
it.
But
again,
for the last
I just want to clarify, we don't actually know what session.
I'd love to know.
We're going by speculation of what the media and players are saying. You would think that the players are telling the truth there, even though they shouldn't be coming out and saying that. But it looks like it was a bit more of an older school regime. Now, I'm not knocking Martin O'Neill's credentials or ability as a manager, knowledge of the game. Like, he's a legend as far as I'm concerned, and obviously Roy Keane. But it does look like they weren't coaching the players in relation to how players are getting coached now by the top managers. That's what it looks like.
Numbers behind the ball. Denmark away, qualifier, numbers behind the ball, stack the box and boot the ball long into the stand, like watching a rugby game. Fair enough, they got the 0-0. They come back to Aviva. At half time, he makes two changes. Takes off the midfielders, holding midfielders, their screen in midfield, and puts in two players. McGeady and Houlihan looking to go for it. They're 2-1 down. It just opened up everything for Denmark. He may have panicked a little bit there, but he had to go for it. And that would be his argument.
Well, we can't judge him on that one game. But, I suppose getting back to the point before we move on to McCarthy and Stephen Kenny's appointment, overall, you have to say they did a very good job for us. You kind of have to say that. It's been a tough year. The Denmark game was tough, but they did get us to a major tournament and we held our own and did well, and they nearly got us to a World Cup. So overall, you would have to say that they did a very good job.
I wouldn't have let Martin O'Neill go. I would have kept Martin O'Neill on in that job. When Martin O'Neill took them over, things weren't going well at all. They really needed a boost. They needed a kick. And O'Neill gave them that. So we have Martin O'Neill. We know Martin O'Neill has the ability to come into this camp and change things around and take the team on to a Euro and do exceptionally well. Now we're in a situation where you could say it's a transition period. And Martin O'Neill was in a situation where, okay, things are not going well. He's got to turn it around again. And we know we can do that. I would have given Martin O'Neill the grace to say, you know, I would have said to him, listen, Martin, things are not going well. We've got to change things around again. I would have said that to him and then on you go with the job. And I would have left them alone, let them finish out the contract. But, you know, FEI took the easy way out. They got a little bit scared of the pressure, and they took the easy way out and let Martin O'Neill go. I didn't like it. I don't like it. He deserved to stay in. I understand that they haven't been doing well, but there's 10 or 11 new players in the squad. They deserve the chance to try for another tournament, and this Nations League is brand new. And they probably thought it wasn't that important. It was a great chance to see and breed new players and get things up and running again. But because of the pressure from the media, you know what the media are like, from the media and from the fans, which I'm also questioning. But anyway, he was let go, and now we have Mick McCarthy.
So obviously, yeah, getting into that then, the decision was, there was kind of, it looked like it was a two-horse race between Mick McCarthy and Stephen Kenny. Mick McCarthy obviously did very well for us before, getting us to the World Cup in Saipan, having a good tournament, although it was kind of clouded by the whole Roy Keane incident. And then Stephen Kenny, who I personally know, would have coached me with a U23 League of Ireland select many, many years ago. But a great story that he was in the mix. People thought he might get the job. And obviously now he's been brought in. And some people are saying it's a bizarre situation because Mick McCarthy has been given the job for 2 years. Stephen Kenny will obviously do the U21s and oversee the rest of the underage setup. But in 2 years' time, Stephen Kenny will definitely get the job. People think that's bizarre because they're looking at it and saying, well, what if Mick McCarthy qualifies us and does really, really well in the Euros? What happens then? I hear what they're saying, but I think people are looking too far ahead. I don't think it's a bad scenario. You have Mick McCarthy with experience, who I think is a good man for the job in terms of trying to get us to that European championship, which is important for the country. And then you also have a situation where Stephen Kenny gets used to working for the FAI, gets used to being in the offices, gets used to the people involved, gets to oversee the underage setup, hopefully gets to help implement and continue implementing, because I know they're already trying to do it, a brand and a style that transcends into every age group. And obviously then he'll be looking to push U21s up into the first team, and it could be a seamless transition in 2 years' time for him to take over. It is a different scenario. I haven't really heard of it before, but it sounds like they're trying to have a succession plan for Mick McCarthy, which is not a bad thing. I suppose the only red flag is that he's definitely leaving in 2 years and Stephen Kenny is definitely getting the job. And a lot of people are saying there's a lot of ifs, buts and maybes in between that period. But overall, I don't think it's a bad decision.
Well, Mick McCarthy does have experience with the Irish team. He's been involved in football. He's been involved in English football in the second tier. He's done okay. He's brought teams up. He's helped teams avoid relegation. He's that manager where he's right in the middle of the two leagues. We're probably looking at what they think they need is a real boost for the side, and they think McCarthy can give them that. Captain Fantastic. They think that he can give them that. He can supply that energy. I suppose it's love versus fear. there was that element of fear with Keane and O'Neill and McCarthy. There's probably, he's probably going to be arm around the shoulder. He's going to drive them, but he's probably going to be more arm around the shoulder atmosphere. I'm not saying O'Neill didn't do that, but with Keane in there, it was getting a little bit distasteful. The players were definitely.
I think with Mick, he has a big presence about him. He's very professional. He's got a strong personality. He obviously understands the game. He's worked with a lot of players, particularly in the Championship. And if we're being honest, at the moment, a lot of our players are of that level. And he understands how to get the best out of them. I think it's probably the safest hands we can be in terms of qualifying for the European Championship. But the overhaul at underage level, well, I say overhaul, a lot of people don't realise there is a lot of good work going on in the FAI. There's a lot of people involved that are doing great jobs, and the structures and the brand is slowly but surely changing. But you always say that there's no point having a good youth setup if you don't have a manager who's willing to give the kids a chance. You have to throw them in and give them a chance. And obviously we talked before about Alex Ferguson being brilliant at that. So I think in the short term, Mick McCarthy probably won't do it too much because he's under pressure to qualify. But I think that's where this is a successful appointment, because Stephen Kenny will have first-hand knowledge of the players that are coming through the system in 2 years' time. And I think he will. I think he'll get great satisfaction into creating that pipeline and pushing them into the first team. And he'll already have a relationship with them from doing the role he's in now. So again, I think it's a good scenario, even though some people are critical of it. I think it's a good scenario for Irish football, and I think it's a great day for League of Ireland, which is neglected. I think we have a lot of great coaches in Ireland. We've got a lot of great players, and putting Stephen Kenny in there, just like when Brian Kerr got it, it promotes our homegrown coaches and shows that they're as good as anyone.
It's a good thing that Kenny is getting in there and getting this opportunity. It's good for Irish football, but it's only the start of something. As far as McCarthy, he had said in the past that he would do the job again, that he would take it. He's been offered it, and who wouldn't take it? What is it, £1.2 million for 1 year? I mean, what a fantastic wage he's getting there. The FAI must have money to burn. They're paying off, as you said earlier on, O'Neill and Keane. And now they're
paying off the stadium.
Big money. And then now they're dishing out a bunch of money to McCarthy and his staff. So to me, it's a lot of money. And when there's a lot of money spent in these kinds of situations, you have to question, are they doing the right thing? Are they going the right way about things? And you could be right about this hosting aspect of it all, but the fans as well and the media got to the FAI. They had to have got to them.
Well, there's such influence now, the media in particular, and the fans, rightly so. They spend their hard-earned money going to these games, and they want to be entertained, obviously, as well. One thing I am really happy with is, like, they didn't go out and get your marquee European coach like your Trapattoni and people like that. And not to knock Trapattoni, but I would have hated to have seen us go out and do that again. You know, there was talk of Klinsmann and people like that. I think we've got to trust our own at this point. We've got really talented people in Ireland in all industries, and that's no different for football. And Mick McCarthy is one of our own. Captain fantastic, as you said. He captained the team. He's managed the country. He gets the people. And Stephen Kenny is obviously from Ireland, coaching in Ireland, very successfully in Europe with Dundalk. And I think that's why it's a great appointment. I think they've entrusted in two people that have Ireland in their blood.
Mick McCarthy has said they won't be playing in a negative way. They won't be playing in a 4-4-2. Listen, over the years, he's done okay. They've always tried to play a bit of ball, get the ball down and knock it around. So Mick McCarthy will do okay. But he knows himself it's all about results.
Results industry, yeah.
It's all about results, and he's got 18 months to make it happen. The draw is this Friday. Kenny, on the other hand, yes, a great move for Irish football, getting in a very successful
League of Ireland domestic league manager with many clubs and a bit of success in Europe as well. He'd be great with the younger crew. But that's not going to fix the long-term issue that we have here, which is we have to understand that, okay, when we get a group of players together and we train them and we get them all on the same page, we can compete, and we can compete against players who are potentially better than you on an individual basis. That wasn't happening. McCarthy's got to make that happen, where he's got to get the team playing as a full unit, playing attractive football, working really hard together. He has his work cut out. Kenny, I don't know if Kenny's going to be able to see too much going on in mixed camps and games and sessions. He's going to be a very busy man looking after from the 15s, 16s, all the way up to the 21s. Not looking after it, but being involved with them. I think that's part of his job, actually, to look after the youth. And the doctor has indeed set up some kind of a system within the FAI.
That's the FAI technical director
Yes,
from Holland.
Ruud Dokter, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. He has been involved with setting up, developing elite players, etc., within the FAI. But that's not going to fix our long-term issues. Our long-term issues are we need to get back to these super little footballers that we've had over many, many years. They seem to have disappeared.
The street soccer
Yeah,
player.
yeah.
And that's another discussion, street soccer, that we'll get into detail another time. But the lack of street soccer, where, we grew up playing on the streets every day. And really, that's where you home in on your technical ability, playing with older kids, playing with younger kids, playing on different surfaces, whether it be grass, whether it be concrete, different types of soccer balls, and just touching the ball all the time, being creative, expressing yourself. Something that is a bit lost. And that's why we talk about Wes Hoolahan being the last of those street soccer players.
I was talking to recently. I was talking to the Manchester United scout, Larry Dunn from Ringsend,
Yeah.
where I'm from originally, and Larry was telling me, I was asking him, what's out there? Is that nothing's coming through? Maybe one player, and that's further up north. There's nothing coming through anymore. We've been running around the entire country. He was working with Joe
Corcoran.
Corcoran, who you know well, who brought you over to United, flight wise. He took you on a flight over there. Larry was working with him, and Larry has said we were running all over the country and can find really nothing. That's an issue. That's a huge problem. We've got some talented young players. We've had them for many, many years. They seem to have disappeared. I would say that that's where we need to go after. And I don't think that the FAI model is going after that.
But the bigger picture as well, and I think we have to address it, there's so many issues and factors related to that, in my opinion. One, I think the rugby, the IRFU, have done a fantastic job. The GAA have done a fantastic job. And a lot of our best athletes at a younger age are going towards those sports. So the best athletes in our country aren't necessarily playing soccer anymore. We're maybe in the Charlton era and a bit beyond. There was a boom in kids participating in soccer, so there was more of a pool to choose from and develop and nurture. So that's one thing. So that aspect would probably fall on the FAI's head. The street soccer element isn't really a global issue because of safety issues and computers and people playing on the computers and different things like that. So they're not out on the streets playing as much, and it becomes more of a safety issue. So that's society's fault, really, and the way the world has gone and social media and all that kind of stuff. So, there's bigger issues there that are controllable and some are uncontrollable. But I suppose you always have to think out of the box how you can solve these issues. But that's a really interesting topic in terms of player development and street soccer. But I think, just to sum up, it's a really interesting appointment with McCarthy for 2 years, Stephen Kenny afterwards. I think O'Neill and Keane, you have to say they've done a really good job.
I think they did a good job, and I think they deserve to continue in their position. What we really need to do is we really need to take care of our domestic leagues, particularly the professional end of things. We don't have it, and all these teams need to have academies, and we need to really go after this. And if we're going to become a world beater as far as playing soccer and getting those kids back to playing, there needs to be something to play for in your own country and not necessarily abroad.
Great point, Joe. Thanks for coming in today. Really appreciate it.